Good morning and welcome. This morning is, as you would know, the last of our breakfast briefings for CPD points. It comes under the heading of Practice Management and Business Skills, and the title is Turning Coffee into Clients. The title is obviously self-explanatory, so I won't explain that. But I will introduce our two presenters, Mark Raymond and Kath McCarthy. A little bit of background on them. You've got some information in the folders there. Mark's got a background in business and marketing. He's been in the, I'm going to say in practice, but of course he's not a lawyer, but he's been in business for 25 years.
Learning.
He's learning, still learning. And has his own business in the area of coaching and training. And you'll see from the sheet in the folder that among his clients who he does coaching with and does business development coaching with are Herbert Smith Freehills and the tax practice of Herbert Smith Freehills, plus various government departments and other large corporations. So Mark has significant experience in the business development coaching and training area. I should also say that both Mark and Kath do work with members of our list. I've engaged them to do business development work with our list members, so I can say honestly that I recommend them highly. Kath's background is a bit different. She's actually a lawyer, like most of us suckers in the room, I was going to say. Kath spent 18 years in practice, mainly in the injuries law area. She was a partner at Wisewells and then a manager at the VWA, Work Cover Authority, doing injuries law. But about 18 months ago, Kath retired from practice and commenced her own training and coaching business using her qualification as a psychologist. She is a registered psychologist as well as a lawyer. And within Kath's coaching and training business, she also works with legal firms. She actually works with the Victorian Bar doing training and coaching, and as I said, with our list. So please welcome Kath McCarthy and Mark Raymond.
Thanks, Michael. We're going with the pop star version of microphones today, so if I burst into song, excuse me, channeling a different part of my personality.
It's going to come out, I'm sure.
Wouldn't it be lovely if we didn't have to convert coffee into clients? It's not the way it should work. Clients should know that we are fabulous. Work should come through word of mouth. In the perfect world, I think that happens. And maybe in those sweet spots in your practice, that's the way it works. The work just comes in the door. But the work we've been doing with barristers, what I've observed in working with law firms, is that that's not the way it always works. And particularly, I think, post-GFC, if we are truly posted, there have been a lot more times in between the sweet spots. I don't know whether you've experienced that. So that we need to be a lot more proactive in the way you build your practices. Can't just rely on word of mouth as much as we'd like to. The reason we call this coffee to clients is because that proactive work that you need to do as a lawyer seems to be happening over coffee or over lunch, mostly over coffee a lot more, that at some point in all that work, you end up having a conversation with them. With someone who's a potential client, and you have to put the hard word on them. You have to have a conversation about work and you start getting into this field where it's suddenly marketing rather than a social coffee. That's what we want to do today. But to make today useful, it would be helpful if you can bring to mind something that's relevant to you. So a coffee or a conversation or a networking event that you have before you or that you would like to have. And that will make today's presentation a whole lot more relevant. So just as I'm talking, think about that. We're going to be presenting models, like a supermarket shelf of models and ideas, and some of you will have bits of these models nailed. This will come easily to you. This is what you do intuitively. There will be parts of what we present today, though, that might be new or will make you relook at your current practices in business development. And so just pick those bits off the shelf for yourself. So, if you were at my workshop last week, you'll know that you don't get to sit there and just absorb. You do role plays. No, you don't really. no wrong place, but I would ask you to turn to the person next to you and introduce yourself. The reason for that is there are 2 points in today's presentation where we'll be asking you to just share some ideas and to test your thinking with the person next to you. So if you don't mind, just turning to the person next to you, and if you're distant, move in 30 seconds. Okay, thank you. I have your attention now. Mark and I will be alternating in our presentation, so I'm going to turn over to him to take you through how today is going to unfold from here.
Good morning, everyone. And Michael, you mentioned that I'm not a lawyer, and that's probably a good thing for the legal profession when I'm not, so I'll say that up front. What we're going to be doing today is exploring this idea of, you know, turning coffee into clients, as Kath was talking about. And the question that we're in often is, what do we have to do? What are the conversations that need to happen for us to do that? And before we get into the agenda and look at that, we're going to give you our perspective on how it actually, you know, how it happens. First, we've got a pyramid up the front here, and absolutely at the front there's the foundational skill here. The foundation of this is expertise. You know, having skills, being skilled in what you do, and also profiling that expertise, which a lot of lawyers tend to do very well. And that could be in the form of, you know, seminars and speaking and updates and so on. And then what we have above that is the relationship, because what we know is that there are some very good lawyers who are very highly skilled who don't always get lots of work. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Have you seen that? Yeah. You're putting your hand up there? Because what we know is that expertise is foundational, really important, and also the conversations to generate relationships is what gets you the work. So what we're going to be exploring today is a few things. What stops you? What are the things that get in the road? Which Kath is going to be taking us through. And then, as Kath talked about, we want to make this useful. So to think about a real conversation, a real client where you can, where you have in mind, where you can have a conversation after today and apply some of the learning from today and some of your own reflections. Then we're going to have a break at about 8 o'clock or thereabouts, for some more coffee if you'd like to. And then afterwards, we're going to explore what are the classic mistakes? What are the things that can go wrong and how can you avoid those? And then some Q&A, some questions. And one of the things here, I think there's a couple of considerations. The first is, how do we do this in a way that works for us? And the second is, how do we have conversations in a way that work for clients and position us to generate work? So, they're the questions we're going to be exploring today. Okay, Kath.
So when you were thinking of the client you need to have a coffee with, you assume that you haven't had it yet. What does stop you? What has stopped you from talking to that client about what you want to talk to them about to date? What is it that's got in the way? And I just want to give you a couple of minutes to think about, that, because it's quite important. What is it that stops you from picking up the phone and requesting that coffee, going through with your intention? When Mark and I speak with people in coaching who are preparing for this workshop, this is the sort of things we initially hear. They're not going to be interested, it's wasting their time. I don't have the time, I'm kind of busy, my practice needs me, I'm busy. Does that resonate with people? Is that what stops you? You're just busy? If you dig a bit deeper, it's usually things like this as well. When I say the words networking, when I say the word marketing, business development, when your partners, your colleagues, your boss talks to you about these things, what are the images that come to mind for you? What are the thoughts and the feelings? They're the things that get in the way. These sort of things that we tell ourselves, they run through our lives like a tick tape, an internal monologue. and they have a remarkable control over our behaviour, not just in terms of business development, but in every aspect of our lives. Things we tell ourselves about the outside world and what we can do and what we can't do and what we should do and what we should never ever do, they're very powerful. And they run through our lives without us ever necessarily being that conscious of them. You can tune into them. If you can tune into the thoughts you have about business development and networking and coffees and clients, and you get insight into the typical thoughts and the habitual thoughts you have about this, you will be so much better placed to overcome them. Whenever you want to make a change in any aspect of your life, including your firms for that matter, so organisational change or personal change, there are going to be forces that don't want you to succeed. You know, there is force in your life that want things to stay the same. That's why things are the way they are. So if you want to move from where you currently are, the status quo, to any change in your life, you've got to generate enough momentum to overcome the forces that restrain you. Does that make sense? So if your partner tells you your business is screaming you to do more business development, that's a force that's going to drive you to want to be better at it. But the sort of things that are going to hold you back are just those ticker tape monologue that runs through your life. It can be a very powerful force that undermines your intention to move in this area. So how to overcome that? There are two sort of pathways, broad pathways, to combat that monologue in your life. One is to challenge your thinking. Think, well, it's true, but is it always true? Am I assuming a lot here? Do I really have the time or do I not? To sit back, instead of react to those thoughts, to sit back and respond to them, to evaluate them. And when you're thinking about whether to pick up the phone and invite someone for a coffee, you probably do have the time to engage in that evaluative practice. To say, is it really true? Is it true this time? Is it true last time? Is it true for me this time? What am I assuming here? To really tune into those thoughts and overcome them. The other way to combat them, in terms of challenging them, is to combat what you actually think about marketing and think about business development and networking. For me, and we were talking about this just before, that the thought of networking still makes me squirm. One of the thoughts I have about networking is that I'm using people. I want to use people, and if I feel like I'm engaging in a conversation that's about using them, I just don't want to go there. So I don't want to think of myself that way. It's not the way I want to conduct my practice. For me, it's been very helpful to challenge that assumption that I am using them, because that's not what people don't buy my services that way. They don't buy your services for your benefit, they buy it for theirs. So your job in terms of business development is to understand their needs and to prove that you're helpful. Your job as a solicitor or any service provider is to find ways to be helpful to your clients. You're not there to extract money from them or to con them. You're trying to be helpful. You're building trust. And if you approach business development with a slightly different mindset, that you are conducting these conversations in a way to demonstrate helpfulness rather than what your needs are, look at their needs, it can help get the forces acting for you to overcome that sort of objections that will be running through your life.
Thanks, Kath. About 12 years ago, I was working for another large firm, and I was in the marketing department, the business development department. Do many of you have business development departments in firms, or you tend to do that all yourself? And we've been on, myself and others have been talking to partners and senior associates and lawyers for 3 or 4 years to say, we need to be getting out there in the market more and having more business development conversations. We might not have used the word selling, but we probably did say that a few times. We weren't having much luck. And then the partners had a conference later on in the year, and there was a guy called Michael Keane who was speaking, who was a terrific, he was a Deloitte partner for many years and operates in this space, and he's terrific. And he said to them, you purport to be trusted advisors. You know, on the website it says this particular firm, you purport to have trusted advisor relationships with your clients. And he said, you know, is that what you're saying? Is that how you see yourself? And they said, yeah, we see ourselves in that way. And he said to them, where does it start and where does it end? Where does that trusted advisor relationship? And they said, well, it's all the way through. It's not just working on matters, but it's before, it's after, and so on. And he said, well, you've got a professional responsibility then to be having conversations with your clients about issues that they're struggling with, putting forward ideas and helping them. And all of a sudden, the light went on for a lot of them. And they came back from this conference and they said, we're going to be doing more business development and marketing. I said, we've been saying that for 3 years. And I said, well, you didn't put it in that way. And I think it picks up on Kat's point around helping. And it created a totally different mindset for many people. And all of a sudden, they felt so much more comfortable in having those conversations because they didn't see themselves as doing business development or marketing. I remember that as Kat was talking through that.
I think that's an important point too, because I remember that moment for me when someone says they're not buying legal services, they're buying trust. So the questions they have is, can they trust you? Do you want me to go back to that equation? We haven't covered it.
Yeah. Just before we do that, just a very quick big picture perspective on what we're talking about here. You've all got a mix of clients that you work with, right? Could be anywhere from a few to like many, many more. And the way we think about is to put this into context, and I think it's a way of thinking about how much time we want to invest in clients, having these coffees, having these types of conversations, is that clients, they're either very relevant for you or not less relevant. So they brief out work that you want to do and enough of that work, or not. So there's one perspective is how relevant are they to your practice, and the other is the strength of the relationship that you have. So in terms of what we're talking about today, for you to put that into context, and for even for you to think about that client that Kath asked you to think about before, where it is on the spectrum, you know, if it's a high relevant, high relationship client, you know, the conversation's going to be different. I know I'm stating the obvious, but it's important to bear in mind in terms of how much time you want to invest in having these sorts of conversations with clients. So that's the first thing we want to say. The second thing around this is this idea of helping. A very quick story on this. A couple of years ago, I was working with a partner in Sydney from a large firm that was trying to generate work with one of the banks. And she was saying that she'd been having coffee catch-ups for the last 2 years with this particular client. And she said, we had a really good relationship, but no work. I think there'd been about 8 conversations, 8 or 7 over 2 years. And she assumed that if we keep having these conversations, work will come in. And it hadn't come in yet. Can anyone relate to that? Yeah, I certainly can myself from my own experience. And we talked a bit about it. And we had a conversation about how much do you know about this particular client? And she said, we get on really well. You know, I talk about his kids. I talk about, you know, the role he's got in his organisation. Talk about people that we know. Talk a bit about the organisation and what the bank's doing, what its strategy is and what's happening in the market and that kind of thing. And I said, have you spoken about the work? The work and whether there's work, you know, for you in the area and how you can get, you know, some of that work and so on, you know, in her own way, so that she was comfortable. She said, no, I don't want to go there. So after, it didn't happen straight away, but after a couple of months, she had the conversation with the client and said, I'm probably paraphrasing here, but it was along the lines of, you know, we've been catching up for a long time. We'd love to do some work for you. Is there any opportunity for us? And he said, no, there isn't, because a partner who you work with, we can't stand. And he said, if you can guarantee that he'll never work on the team for us that represents us, fine. So she did that. I mean, there's lots of partners in firms and there's going to be personality issues and so on. But the fact that she had the conversation, she was then able to reassure him that, no, I'll be looking after the matters that you'll be instructing us on. And now he's her biggest client, and just from that conversation. And she was really anxious about having that conversation, but she had it. So we take Kat's idea about being helpful for clients and building trust, right? So how do we actually do that in reality? And I know, like Kath was saying, you probably do this all the time. You probably do this all the time in different ways. But what we tend to know is that in conversations, we tend to go into one of three or in three areas. First is the personal stuff, you know, around the personal relationship, their role, and so on. The other is the organisation and the industry. So, depending on the client you're talking to, for some of you, a show of hands here, people who act for business clients, commercial type clients. Yeah, okay, so about half. For you, it might be, you know, in that space, what's their company doing, what's their strategy, all that sort of stuff. For people who act for individuals, it could be, these conversations could be with potential referrers of work about, you know, what they're doing and what their strategy is and so on. And the last one here is the need. In other words, the work. What are the types of work that you brief out? What do you look for? Who do you currently use? How can we help? That kind of thing. I'm curious, show of hands, who's really comfortable in the personal stuff, the personal conversation? Amen? Yeah, okay, most of you. Who's really comfortable in talking about the client's organisation and industry? Yeah, some of you. Who's comfortable in having conversations about the work? Yeah, fewer, yeah. And Kath and I in the same boat, because all this stuff applies to us as well. And that's what tends to happen. And so what we want you to think about now is the conversation that you want to have with a client. And in your handouts, I think there's a sheet where we invite you to take some notes about how well you know the client. It's in there. Can I steal yours for a second? This one here. Have you all got that? What we'd like to do is for you to spend a few minutes writing down some things about how well you know the client. Because again, we can only help the client if we know them. And this can be useful for a preparation tool for preparing for conversations that you have with clients. So, how are we going for time? It's about 5 to 8. So, yeah, spend a few minutes doing that, and then we'll come back to you in a few minutes. Kath, is there anything else that you wanted to say at this point?
I think as you go through it, it'll be interesting for yourself when you fill it out as to what do you know more about. It might give you a clue as to the type of conversation you've been already having with that client, potential client, and where you need to go. Personally, I'm really comfortable perhaps with the top circle, and I reckon if I was filling out that sheet, it'd be full of information about them as a person, their career, and that's where I go comfortably. And then I cascade down a little bit about the organisation, the work, seems really scary, of how they like to breathe. And you'll probably see similar patterns. It might not be the same emphasis, but it will give you a bit of a clue as to where you might need to push yourself with this client. So where your discomfort is, what will come easy to you and what will come harder. Yes, Michael.
Can I ask a question? Do we need to have equal emphasis on each circle?
In that coffee?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. It will be very tailored to the client, but you don't have to cover every single circle in every single conversation. That's where that graph of, well, one is where am I at with this relationship? You don't turn a coffee into a client in one coffee. That you might need to have a few coffees. You might need to build a relationship. Remember, you're looking to establish trust in these conversations. Trust doesn't happen overnight. It's a slow build. So you might decide in this particular coffee conversation you have in mind that you will strategically focus on one circle, and that's all you're going to be focusing on. You might really want to go to know more about the person because there's a big gap there, and that's all that coffee's going to be looking for. Another client, you might think, I'm not going to be in front of them again. This is a longer opportunity. I have a lunch organised with them. I think I will be able to touch on each of them.
In a minute, what we'd invite you to do before we go for our coffee break, have another coffee, is for you to have a comment. If you're comfortable, we'll share information about the client. You don't have to name the name of the client if you don't want to, but if you're happy to share with the person you talked to before about that client, tell them a bit about what you know about the client, have a conversation with that person. You might get some ideas from that conversation. We welcome you to do that over over coffee. We're going to be going there in a minute. But this idea of helping, just another quick example came to mind for me working with another partner who missed out on a job with a big client. And so he was quite strong. They had a strong personal rapport, but it was a new relationship, so he didn't really know this particular person that well. It was a pitching process. And many of you have been through a pitching process where you pitch for work and, so it was a sort of a more formal process. There wasn't a great personal relationship, it wasn't a bad one either. Understood intimately about their organisation and industry, and knew a bit about the type of work that they briefed out, but not a lot, because it was a fairly new relationship. Missed out on a job, and again, wasn't going to have a conversation because in his mind, client had made their mind up, they're using someone else, we'll leave it. But about 3 months later, he called the client, said, I'm going to be in town. And the frame-up for the conversation was to talk about issues you're experiencing on this particular project, to see whether you want to have a second opinion, just talk through some of the issues and so on. So again, a helping idea, not selling, helping. And that was where he was really comfortable, because he was very strong technically, less comfortable probably on the personal relationship side. So he played with his strengths. That's the other thing here that's really important, I think, that we can forget, is where are we really strong and really maximising that. The client got a lot of value out of it. He didn't feel like he was selling. The client didn't feel like she was being sold to. But there was enough there for them to say, for the next small job that comes in, we'll use him. And she did. And then for the next few projects, again, and it kept growing from there. So I think this is just another example of helping. But thank you.
Is there a certain degree of caution to take with personal relationships with clients?
So do people hear that? Is there a certain degree of caution to take with personal relationships with clients? Does anyone have a response in your experience?
My friendship with
clients. To become too close to your client. Does anyone have a response to that, or we do?
Surely it depends on the client and how you feel. Surely it depends on the client and how comfortable you feel. I mean, I have clients whom I can count as friends now, and the relationship has developed over years. And part of it is the fact that we've grown to trust one another. And it means that they can call to discuss personal issues, legal issues, issues related to the business, and just areas of concern. And that goes one further, areas of concern with regard to the work that we're doing for the business.
I think that's a nice reminder about trust. I'm going to go back to a slide, which so bear with me as we go through it. This is the work of Maister. You might have heard of Trusted Advisor. He's a consultant who has a lot of books that are tailored to law firms. And this book, The Trusted Advisor, talks about how to establish that sort of trust as a lawyer with your clients. That's really what you're shooting for in terms of the strongest relationships with clients. And he breaks down trust into four components that you are trying to demonstrate. You're trying to demonstrate your capacity to form rapport or relationship or a friendship. So there's a place for that. It's not only that, you're trying to be credible. So you're trying to demonstrate that you have the expertise, that foundational piece is there, that you have the expertise to solve their problems. And you're trying to establish reliable. You will deliver when you say you'll deliver. You won't be late on your advices. When you say it's going to cost this amount, that you will stick to that or renegotiate. So there's that reliability piece. That's all part of trust. And everything is undermined if you focus on yourself rather than their needs. You can undo all the good work you do if you are focusing on yourself, your business, and not on their business. So I know that doesn't completely answer your question. Yes, I think you need to be cautious in close friendships because we have professional boundaries we need to maintain. But that rapport building is a very important part of trust building. Okay, so what about you, before we break, turn to the person you partnered with before, and to just process what's come out for you in that discussion, probably for a minute or two, and then we'll break for breakfast. I'll call you all and we'll go and have another cup of coffee. Thanks.